Blog Talk Radio.
Success, Safety, and Racing Podcast. As always, I put God first, then safety, then racing. And this is presented by Race Safer Fuel Arrester. And I want to thank Chris Creighton, Race Chat Live. And then I also want to thank Jason McMillan at the 110 Nation Sports for doing the show. So thank you to Jason McMillan for the show, and thank you, Chris, for helping me with it and get me on the show. So this is awesome. I got two great guests for you. I got Patrick Daniel, driver Patrick Daniel, coming on. And then I got my friend Derek Long, Kane, a.k.a. Kane, Kane's Warrior Kids, coming on the show at 7:30. So it's going to be pretty good. So y'all stay tuned for that. And we're on the subject of safety, of course, especially fuel safety with the Race Safer Fuel Arrester. So as always, remember, it's made in the USA, NASA grade material. No cheap Chinese made garbage. You don't want to buy nothing Chinese made for your race car, in my opinion, because for one, it's just cheap quality. If you buy made in America, it's better quality, especially for racing. Support American jobs. Buy a fuel arrester from us. It's going to be it's an awesome device. I'd love to sell you one. Let me know if you want to buy one. So there's so many fuel fires that happen in racing, but nobody, I don't know, a lot of people just don't seem to take it serious. There's some that do, but you have to take fuel fires serious. Because if you get burned in a race car, it's pretty scary. I've had people tell me that that's one of their fears, getting burned up in a race car. And, you know, fuel is what I call the invisible assassin or invisible killer or whatever you want to call it, invisible monster. Because, for one, you can't really see it. It's clear. It's got a strong smell, and it burns, especially if it's like methanol, race fuel, or any fuel, really. It's just bad. And so if you go on YouTube, type in DeSoto Speedway Pure Stock Wreck. And I share this video. I show it to everybody at the racetrack. It's pretty scary. It's an asphalt pure stock race in 2015 at DeSoto Speedway, which asphalt track, of course. And somebody got a video of two drivers going neck and neck, three drivers actually, going neck and neck around the turn. Two were fighting for position. And then all of a sudden, both cars collide going the turn, and they get together. And then you see a third car come in the picture. Bam! Pile drive one of the drivers right in the rear of the fuel cell. Of course, he hit it so hard the fuel cell exploded. And it all three cars caught fire, and you know, it takes time to get unbuckled. It takes time to get out of the race car, and both all three drivers caught fire, and the cars caught fire. Two drivers were able to get out. You see them in the video. Two drivers were able to get out, and it took them a minute to get out. Well, then the third guy's still pinned in his car, and you can see it clear as day in the video. The third guy's pinned in his car, and you see him get out. When he gets out, he's on fire. And the guy's running, you see him run around the safety truck. Safety truck pulls up, and the driver runs around the safety truck on fire. And he finally starts rolling on the ground, and they get the fire extinguisher and put the fire out. And the guy got several degree burns, and I wish I knew the rest of the story, but that's all I got from the YouTube video. But look it up. It's DeSoto Speedway Pure Stock Wreck 2015, and you'll see the fuel cell explode. And with the Race Safer Fuel Arrestor, what it does, it fits around the fuel cell of your race car, and it will help prevent fuel from spilling and driver and car from catching fire. Now, it's like anything in racing. It'll still take damage. It's not 100% foolproof, you know, but it's still a good quality item. And it won't suck up all your race fuel, but it will soak up a good bit of race fuel, and it gives you time to get out of the car, get unbuckled, time to get out, to keep you from catching fire, because, man, these fuel fires are scary. I've got dozens and dozens of stories on our Facebook from asphalt racing, dirt track racing, drag racing, you know, fuel fires, each one. It doesn't matter what you race. In my opinion, you need a fuel arrestor. And don't just say, oh, that's all you make is fuel arrestor. It won't put out that fire. It won't put out that fire. No, the fuel arrestor is our main item. But we also make one for your battery. I've seen a battery explode. I watched Mr. Kevin Saucier, like I talked about a few weeks. I saw his battery explode in his pure stock, or his factory stock car at Deepside Speedway. Batteries will explode, so we make one for your battery. If you don't have one of those gel six-proof batteries, then make one for your battery, keep your battery from exploding. We make fuel line wrap, the sleeve that goes around your fuel line, and we can make it as long as you want it. We can go all the way to the front of the race car with it. We also make one for your fuel pump, too, for your race car, a fuel arrestor for your fuel pump. So there's no excuse why you can't be protected from a fuel fire. Or, you know, and the cool thing about the Race Safer Fuel Arrestor is you can wash your, if you're a dirt track driver, like I go to a dirt track race every weekend, and when you go to a dirt track, you can clean the fuel arrestor, and it will not soak up water, just race fuel, petroleum products. It will not soak up water, which is great, because the one that I've, the asphalt super late model fuel arrestor I've been showing off at the racetrack, I get it dirty, get it dusty, showing it off to people. So what I do, I take it and wash it with bug cleaner and a bug sponge, and cleans the dust off, makes it look shiny again, but does not affect, doesn't soak up water. And, you know, I think it's a great safety device. I think more people should take fuel safety serious. I think more people should take the fuel arrestor serious. But if you'd like one, hit me up. Also, check out our website, RaceSaferFuelArrestorLLC.com, and we have a Facebook, too. And you can also give me a call. My cell number is listed on the website, and it's also listed on our Facebook. So if you'd like to get one ordered and you take fuel fires very serious and you're racing, because I'm the safety Nazi. I don't care what people think. I'm going to push safety, and I'm sure there's going to be people argue with me. Who cares? And I don't see how anybody can argue safety, from wearing gloves to whatever. And so don't argue safety. Don't be stupid, and don't get hurt in a race car. Like, the ones who don't take safety serious, they get hurt a lot in racing. So you got to take safety serious, you know, small things, big things. And like the fuel arrestor, it doesn't matter what size fuel cell, make one for go-kart, junior slingshot, drag car, 3.5 gallon cell on drag car. You know, so for instance, our 16 to 22 gallon fuel cell model that fits that, it's $399, and then, of course, we go up to the dirt late model 499 with 32 gallon fuel cell. And then, of course, we got the Asphalt Super Late model at 599. And then, of course, we make one for any size race car, any size fuel cell, so hit us up. And so let's get to our first guest. We've got some awesome guests coming on. We got driver Patrick Daniel, somebody I think highly of. I like Patrick Daniel. And Derek Kane Long of Kane's Warrior Kids. So let's get Patrick on the show here. I believe he's already called in, so let's give a little cheer. All right. How you doing, Patrick?
Man, I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing dang near skippy. If I was any better, shoot, I don't know.
It's good to hear, man.
Yeah, you know you're doing pretty good when you're dang near skippy.
That's right.
So tell everybody about you and your racing career and what you currently race.
Man, I started when I was 15. They're in our area now. There's not many IMCA cars left. They're mostly like USMTS, USRA. I run super late models over the last, I don't know, probably 15 years, 10, 15 years. And this past 2 or 3 years, I've been running some great late model stuff. One modified and late model features all over. This past year, I started driving one of those big block modifieds, those Northeast modifieds. They're big in Louisiana and where we live in Texas. Louisiana's not really far. We live pretty close to the state line there. So we've been driving a car for Jody Main and Doug Lloyd and his family a little bit this year. I don't know. I think we run 6 or 8 times in that deal. Anyway, mainly just a late model guy and been doing some crate racing here lately. Been to that dome race up there a couple times and made the show every time and sat on the pole 1 year. It's not the biggest race we've probably been to, I guess.
Wow, that's awesome. So what is your favorite car you've ever driven, favorite class or car, period?
Man, I'm a late model guy through and through. I just love those things. I think they're the neatest cars I've ever seen or drove. I had the most fun in them. I like the way they look. I just like everything about them. Second favorite is probably that big block modified. Those things are pretty neat too. You know, I really enjoyed driving that car way more than I thought I would. Being a center steer car and everything, it was just cool the way that they maneuver and handle and everything.
So those, if I want to make sure I got this correct, so those big block modifieds, they run like a 383 in them, or?
So my understanding, as long as it is, so funny story, we call them big block cars because up there in New York, that's mainly what they run in them. Down here, it's all small block stuff, and you can pretty much run anything you want with a steel block. So there's guys that run 430s and 400s and 380s and 370s, 360s. They're kind of all over the place. They have one little combination that we actually run in our car, and it's a little less crate motor of some kind. So it's actually all aluminum, but it's, you know, limited on horsepower and cylinder head work and all the things. So it doesn't make near the power that some of those guys make, but it is all aluminum motor. So I guess trade-off is the weight there.
Yeah, and you know, something I've learned about dirt track racing, because I've been going to dirt track races since 2015, and I've learned that just because you got the biggest and baddest motor out there don't mean you're going to win the race, because you got to get that engine to plant. And sometimes them smaller engines, like what you got, lightweight car, is better than the big engine.
That's right, man, and the condition's just right. You know, they're hard to outrun. It's a cool thing about dirt racing that has always attracted me or had my interest is that, you know, it's the biggest equalizer more than anything. Yes, money and good equipment is still important, but in the grand scheme of things, the dirt surface changing all throughout the night, and you take a good driver and those types of things, and you can still have a legitimate shot at winning the race and being competitive, even though you don't have the most expensive equipment there.
There you go. I like the way you think. So how many wins do you have in your career?
Shoot, man, I don't really know. I know it probably sounds whatever. I don't know that I've won enough that anybody really cares or has kept up with it, and I really don't know. We sat down and tried to figure it up one time, and I don't know. I'm going to say somewhere probably around 150, 100, something like that. You know, it's not
wow,
near as many probably
awesome.
As it should be, but, you know, shoulda, woulda, couldas. We had a few slip away from us here and there that were just heartbroken about, but seemed like you remember those just almost as much as you do the ones you did win, you know.
I agree. And so what is the biggest win you've ever had?
Probably money-wise, the biggest win I ever won. The last year, I'm pretty sure it was the last year. If not, it was second to the last year. I think it was 2014 or so. They used to have a race at Lone Star for the late models called the Turkey Nationals, and it paid $5,000 to win. And it usually had a pretty good draw of cars, you know. I know that, you know, Morgan Bagley, B.J. Robertson, Garrett Albertson, Robert Baker, Rob Litton, David Ashley, Kenny Merchant, Ronnie Adams. I mean, there was a bunch of big name late model guys that came and participated in that race, and I won it one year. And that same night, I had a little old USMTS modified, and I won the Turkey National race in it too.
Wow.
So that was a pretty good night for us there. Probably one of the biggest races I ever won. I won an A qualifier in the modified Friday night Texas Motor Speedway, and I think they had like maybe 170 cars or something there, something like that.
Wow.
And Stormy Scott, Steve Whitaker, it was Rodney Sanders. There was a bunch of them USMTS guys that were there that were racing that night. Chris Hennigan. Anyway, a bunch of really good modified drivers up there, and I won that Friday night qualifier, so that was kind of fun.
How cool is that? That's a big deal, especially because, you know, I love that show, and I ain't finished all the seasons yet, but, of course, Stormy Scott was on the Dirt Nights, and that's a pretty big deal to race against somebody like that.
Them guys are good.
I can imagine so, because that's 175. That's the best of the best. And I remember the United States Modified Touring Series when they come to Why Not Motorsports Park one time, and I met Kenny Schrader, and I ain't gonna lie, like, I nerded out. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's Kenny Schrader, NASCAR legend. I freaked out. I was like, oh, this is so cool. I've been watching him for years in NASCAR. I got his autograph, which was super cool, and I don't think he made the feature, which sucks, but he was super nice to me. But I just enjoyed watching those guys, and, like, those guys do it professionally for a living. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's hard for that is the one thing I'll say. It's, you know, when them guys are in their race cars night in, night out, you know, I think they develop skills and feel that, you know, regular guys who are, you know, working a job and doing the whole civilian regular family life deal probably very seldom develop, get experience, you know.
Yes.
Them guys are for real, you know, getting to do it three or four nights in a row, I really think sharpens your skills, you know. It's hard to show up and outrun those guys, the best and the best, you know. When you do that,
it's
pretty even more special, you know.
Oh, look, when you do that, it's time to celebrate, son. Be dancing in the racetrack because, that's a big deal. Because, you know, like
sure.
You said, these guys, they eat, sleep, and breathe race cars, like Kenny Wallace when he raced all those races last year. And just to see these guys, like when they go to sleep with a steering wheel in the hand. That's how dedicated.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, all right, so since this is a safety podcast, what in safety do you or what all in safety in general do you like to do?
Probably, now I would think, I don't know this to be a fact, but I would think most, the two biggest fears that I have, and I would feel like this would be common for most racers, is going to be fire and impalement, like something coming into the race car and hitting you in the chest, the head, whatever, you know, a flying object of some kind, because you're, you know, theoretically you're strapped in there. You cannot dodge or move anything like your body. So those are my two biggest things that I worry about. So, you know, onboard fire extinguishers and fire systems, and, you know, having the best fire underwear and suits and shoes and gloves and, you know, those types of things. Those are what I like to invest and make sure that I have, you know, very up-to-date, current, and all the nicest stuff. And I personally wear a lot of the Velocita stuff, and they have several different lines, like, you know, most everybody. We typically get their pro suits or their elite suits, which are, you know, really nice and have some good qualifications and meet all the specs and standards that they need to for the industry.
That's great. And Velocita's made in USA, which is a good brand. They're not Chinese made. And so have I told you about my fuel arrestor that I'm working with?
So I know a little bit about it. I have not personally heard it from you, but I am aware of it and have went to the website and stuff and kind of checked it out. So I am aware of,
oh, that's cool,
of how it covers the cell and absorbs the fuel. And, you know, I'm not super educated on it. I kind of glanced through the high spots there and checked it out. But, it, man, fantastic idea for sure.
So what it is, basically, so my buddy Robbie Johns, I got to give him a shout out. He invented it, and he's been in racing since the 70s. His dad drove a sprint car in the 70s, and then when Robbie got old enough, he started racing himself in the 80s. He's raced everything from asphalt, super late models, to sprint cars, to street stocks. And he lives in Baker, Florida, which is a few miles down the road from Northwest Florida Speedway. And he's worked with some NASCAR teams before, and I believe one of them was James Finch. I may have that wrong. Anyways, he developed this many years ago working with these asphalt teams because he used to race in North Carolina. And he wanted, because Jimmy Spencer, it was not Jimmy Spencer, what was his name? Steve Grisham. Steve Grisham. And I believe it was 95, I forgot the year it was, but Steve Grisham was racing. And Robbie sent me a video, and he remembers when Steve Grisham wrecked in the Cup Series, and his fuel cell exploded and basically just went across the racetrack, flew out the car, went across the racetrack, caught fire, and just blew up on the racetrack, and it was a whole big deal. And then so he came up with this idea. He was tired of seeing drivers get burnt. And so basically it's like a vest or a diaper that fits around your fuel cell. It's lightweight. It's got pig mat on the inside that soaks up race fuel, petroleum products, and the outside is NASA-grade material. And so he wanted something that was lightweight like that, and it's Velcro on the top. You put it around your fuel cell, and it protects that fuel cell because the fuel cell gets damaged, ruptured in any way, that it'll soak up your race fuel. Now, it won't soak up all of it, I give you that. And it's not 100% foolproof like in anything in racing, but it'll soak up a good bit of it. And then eventually got it to where I said, well, I'll make one for the fuel pump and then make one for the battery because batteries are known to explode. And then also have the fuel sleeve wrap that goes around the fuel line and goes all the way to the front. And I think it's something that's well, well needed in racing nowadays because fuel fires are very scary, like you said, because you don't want to have it come in the car. And one instance, a story I'll tell you, there's a guy, it's on our flyer, I made our flyer, and it's a guy named Ricky Craig who drives an asphalt car, and he drives the Anderson Speedway in Anderson, Indiana. And about 2 years ago, it was pretty current, he was racing in one of the smaller classes, I think, and his car had debris come up and rupture his fuel cell. And I got several pictures on our flyer. It fuel cell exploded.
and the car, the whole car engulfed in flames, and he got third-degree burns and got sent to the hospital. And I found him on Facebook and reached out to him about that, and he thought it was a pretty cool deal. And fuel fires are very scary, and people need to take that stuff serious.
Well, I certainly agree. But there's, you know, I feel like that's probably, I'm a big stats guy, and I have not researched it and looked, but I would say that or head trauma has to be the number one cause of death in all of auto sports, be either or, I would have presumed.
Yes. Yes, I would agree. And, you know, like, for instance, like head trauma and stuff, I'm a NASCAR fan. I've been watching NASCAR since Moby Dick was a sardine, and I remember when Dale Earnhardt died, and I cried. Like, I was a Dale Earnhardt fan. I was like, man. I remember watching it. I recorded it. And because of his death is the reason why we have the HANS device mandatory in NASCAR, which needed to happen. I just hate it happened, you know, the way it did. But in a way, it was supposed to happen like that for everybody to see this HANS device to keep your neck from snapping, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think that around that same time they started to develop some of those safer barrier foam walls and things.
Yes.
In conjunction with that, so there's. You know,
and you know,
it's a dangerous sport.
It is, and those safer barriers helped out a lot in NASCAR because I watch it religiously, and you can see when they hit the wall. Just the impact absorbs that car hitting the wall so hard, you know.
Yeah.
And I am super glad that you take safety super serious because a lot of people don't. They'll skip on everything, whether it's gloves or whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, it's racing's dangerous enough as it is. You know, and we all want to live life and be a little bit crazy and, you know, do stuff that's probably not the most sane thing to do, but there's a difference between being brave and being reckless, you know.
Right. In fact, I think I met you, didn't I meet you at, I met you at Jackson Motor Speedway, didn't I?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
I believe so. Yeah, that's right. The All-American 60.
Yep. I won the modified feature over there that night. And I got my butt kicked in that late model, if I remember correctly. But I was there in both cars.
Yeah, that was a super fun night. And I won't never forget that night because I met you that night. Yeah, that's right. It was All-American 60 that Saturday night. And I believe I was filming the features that night. And that was a lot of fun. And I tell y'all what, y'all that's listening, first of all, y'all be sure and share this. That way everybody knows we got Patrick Daniel on the show. And, yeah, Patrick is a really cool guy. I enjoyed meeting him, and he's somebody I think highly of, and I love following his racing on Facebook.
Man, I appreciate that a lot. It means a lot. You know, we try to engage with everybody. It's hard sometimes, even when I was a young man, at different times, you know, you'd catch a race, tongue-tied there, catch a racer at the pit area, and, you know, you just, he wasn't as nice maybe as you was hoping or thought he might be and such, and it took me a few years to get a little bit older and actually start racing myself to realize that guy was there, and he was really not being rude, but he just was thinking a lot, had a lot on his mind, was, you know, and just trying to stay honed in, not that he was purposely trying to be an asshole to anybody or anything like that, but he just had a lot on his mind, a lot on his plate, a lot to think about, changes, decisions, starting spots, you know, equipment failures, all these things that go through your head. So I try my best to take care of everybody and visit with everybody, but definitely after the races is the most opportune time because the stress is off, the night's over with. You kind of, it is what it is. You can let your hair down and, you know, visit and, you know, have a cold drink and all the fun stuff.
I agree. And, you know, like I've met a lot of drivers, 'cause I go to I go to a racetrack every weekend, and I've met everybody. I've met famous drivers. I've met a lot of local drivers. And one thing they'll say about Tony Stewart is, now, I ain't never met Tony Stewart, but some people say, oh, he's a so-and-so, he's a so-and-so. But in all reality, it's like what you just said. Because I've had a lot of people tell me, say, man, Tony Stewart's a super nice guy, man. He's awesome. You just got to meet him before the races, before, you know, or after the races, you know, because when he's in the middle,
yeah.
He's zoned in, and he just comes across, but he's really not. He's just focused.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I you know, you see these clips here and there, and Tony is, you know, I respect Tony, and I look up to him. You know, he's certainly one of my heroes. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of guys like him, A.J. Foyt, John Force. You know, these guys are emotional, and they're passionate about what they do. You know, Tony gets a lot of ridicule because, oh, well, he's a hothead, he this, he that, he blah, 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 or whatever they say. Kyle Busch is another one. But, no, what these guys are is they're competitive, and they're just damn passionate about what they do. And they take
exactly.
it serious, and they're taking it personal. And whenever, you know, something goes down, they take it personal because they're personally invested heart and soul in whatever it is they're doing. And I get that. You know, I feel that way myself. I found myself in some similar situations that those guys are in. And, you know, and at that particular moment in time, I'll tell people what I think and where they can go and where they can stick it if they don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
So I get that. You know, I tried to explain to somebody the other day on Facebook, like, I think the greatest race car driver in my lifetime that I will ever see, and it I don't know how you could possibly beat it, but Kyle Larson is probably the greatest race car driver to ever live to this point. And I think
Ooh.
Guys like Tony Stewart and A.J. Foyt and, you know, some of those guys, I think they would agree with what I'm saying. But I'm not a fan. I like him. I respect him. All the things, but I'm not a fan. And people go, how is that? Why is that? Well, for me, he just don't stand his ground enough. He's just kind of, you know, he just kind of goes with the flow. And I know he's been crucified and, you know, unjustly tormented and had his career stripped away. And, you know, he exuberates everything a racer should be. And I like him a lot. And sure as hell respect him. At the end of the day, that's all anybody really wants is respect. You know, that's the highest
that's
form
right.
of admiration. But I personally just ain't a fan of his. Like, I don't like watching him out of the race car and these other guys that I, you know, that John Force, in my opinion, he kept and made drag racing what it has been, or drag racing probably would have been gone long ago or way less popular.
That's right.
But he's such a colorful individual and so vibrant
oh,
and
man.
Full of life
yes.
and flair and drama. Like, I love that guy because you do not have to wonder what in the world he is thinking because it is all over his face and his mouth, and I love it. You know, that's just my kind of guy.
Oh, I've been watching John Force for years, and like you said, he's colorful. He's super funny, and I love his interviews. He'll grab the camera and
Absolutely.
He'll autograph the camera, or he'll start shaking it.
Yeah, man. He's.
I mean,
now I'm a fan of John Force for sure.
I love drag racing. I love any kind of racing. I mean, if a redneck wants to take a lawnmower and soup it up and go racing, I'm cool with that. Any kind of racing.
yeah, right on.
That's rated R for redneck right there. But like, so as far as drivers go, Patrick's one of those like Tony Stewart. He could win a race backwards blindfolded.
I'm glad you feel that way. I don't know. There's been a few that I feel like I had the good shot at winning and couldn't get it done. But, you know, I think we're at least average anyway. You know, I think a lot of times people see that we take really good care of our stuff and we try to put our best foot forward and make sure that our equipment is very aesthetically pleasing and looks good. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that the majority of my racing career, I have only set in probably three brand new race cars ever in my entire racing career. And the rest of them have all been, you know, used up hand-me-downs that we've bought from somebody. Same thing with motors. I bet I've only had three or four brand new motors my entire racing career. You know, I have not always had the very best of the best. We've just always tried to buy people's stuff, refurbish it, revamp it, you know, refresh it and go again. And it's not anything necessarily wrong with that, but there's something to be said for fresh equipment and brand new cars and brand new motors and stuff that just doesn't have some fatigue and wear on it. You know, there's you start piecing all that together. You've watched my little old race program over the years. We buy a good newer used car and motor program, and we run, you know, we win a few and then run top five that year pretty steady. The next year's top five, win a few left. The next year's a few top fives and more top tens. You know, you just kind of watch that progressively fade off until you do it again, you know. So I wish I had the opportunity to drive a little nicer, newer stuff at times, which, you know, we're real fortunate to have the opportunities and the rides we have right now with some good equipment. So, you know, it's all just a stepping process, I feel like. You got to build from one to the next to the next, you know.
There you go. You do what you got to do. I like that. You know, sometimes I'd rather see that than just new cars all the time. So do you have any – so I got Derek Long coming up next. So do you have any sponsors you want to shout out?
Yeah. One of my car owners, Jamie Greer, owns Jambo Barbecue Pits. Man, he's been on Pitmasters, and if you ain't seen or checked out his barbecue pits, they're literally world famous, man. There's nothing like them. They're a beautiful masterpiece.
Wow.
He has managed to figure out how to, when you cook in his grills in any area, corner, or part of that, I mean, it's like within several degrees of that. So your meat cooks the same anywhere it is laid out in this grill. They're pretty exotic.
Wow.
And then Jody Main, JGM Cleaning over here in Grant Saline, him and Doug Lloyd letting me drive that modified car. They've done really, really good things for me here over the last year, and I'm looking really forward to working with them some more next year as well. And Harry works on that car for us and bust his butt and keeps it up. So all them guys I really appreciate. Casey Jordan at Walker Warren Jordan Surveying there out of Tyler, Texas. He's been a longtime supporter of mine. And he used to race with Casey years ago. Was, you know, he was solid racer, man. That dude's won a ton of races in a short period of time. And then he kind of got career-orientated and you know, stepped away from racing to focus on buying the business that he has now. Has done real well with it since he's taken it over, and continued to stay invested in racing and help not only me but race tracks and other people. So real thankful for guys like that. And then his dad, Terry Jordan at Able Truck Sales, same thing, longtime supporter, a good man, helps a lot of different races, not just me, a lot of different race tracks, just a big supporter of racing in this area in general. Wendy and William Wilbanks are been longtime friends of mine and supporters. They own Platinum Collision. They got multiple collision repair facilities all over North Texas. And anyway, they've been with us for a while and helped us out big time over the years. Robert Honeycutt, has been a friend of my dad, a friend of the family forever. He owns Honeycutt Sand and Gravel, and he's been a supporter of mine for a really long time. My cousin and uncle, Jacob and Wendell Daniel at All Pest Solutions. They have a big pest control company in Wiley, Texas. They've been big supporters and helped me. My mom and dad, my beautiful wife, Jana, she goes with me and has done my website and does videos for me, just all kinds of stuff to help out behind the scenes. My brother, can't thank him enough. He actually owns the little Crate Late Model Series, American Crate Late Model Series that we run in this year and last year, and he's going to do it again next year. So, you know, we're trying to grow. I say we. He's trying to grow more, especially late model racing in this area. You know, North Texas, Louisiana, Southern Oklahoma, just kind of that region. Been having some pretty strong car counts. Of course, it you know, August, everything fell off. It's hot and expensive and back to school and all that. But we're really excited about next year. He's done some big things with that series, and I think there's some guys around that have bought some more cars and are showing some promise to show up. And so, you know, I think we're going to have even better average car count in 2024 than we did in 2023. But that's probably going to be my main ones, you know, that I've had over the years that have been with me long term. So real thankful for all those people.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. It's been a blast. I enjoyed it. So anytime you want to come on the show, you let me know. And any of your racer friends want to come on the show, be glad to have them.
Yes, sir, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. The honor's all mine. I enjoyed it. You're doing a fantastic job here.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. You have a good one.
Okay, buddy. See you later. Thank you, guys.
Bye. All right, y'all. That was Patrick Daniel, races in Texas. Appreciate you, Patrick. That was super awesome. And if you want to stay on and listen to Derek, you're welcome to. So I got my buddy Derek Kane Long of Kane's Warrior Kids on the phone. How you doing, Derek?
Hey, good, man. It's been a good start to the week. It's an off-race weekend for us, so we're going to relax and get your car ready for the next one.
Well, that's great. So, look, I hate I missed it, but I heard that Colton and seen on Facebook, Colton won his first race, and the Kane's Warrior Kids, the Millennium Falcon, was running.
Yeah, we have a Star Wars paint thing or scheme on it for the kids with our Kane's Warrior Kids, nonprofit for kids with cancer. And, yeah, Colton was amazing. He picked a 38 at the gate. So, you know, we're, like, starting in the heat race in sixth place thinking, okay, well, here we go. But he just dominated, went through the heat race. So that was his second win of the year. He won a heat race earlier this year. But obviously we want to capture that first feature. And Colton has told me the whole year, all I want to do is get into Tech Shed. He wants to get a top three. We have been fourth a lot this year, okay? But he did it. You know, Henry Bailey and him had a great battle on the track. And Henry had some electrical issues that caused him to go up the track. And after that, no looking back. Colton did a great job, and I videotaped it live on Facebook, and I'm screaming like a banshee, just so excited. It's like my own son driving the car. So I had to take myself out of the car this year because of an injury and a surgery that I had to have. So, you know, Colton stepped in and has done great. The past 4 years, we've been second in points. We're currently second, 16 points behind Cody Wood. Cody had just an awful, awful race. And we wish him the best, and hopefully his car will be – I know his car will be ready for the next race in a couple of weeks, but he had a pretty awful wreck, and I'm glad he was okay.
Yeah, I heard that was pretty bad. Thank the Lord he was okay because God was riding with him.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. You always say that little prayer right before you crank the car. You know, you get the little sticker a lot of those guys do, and we do too, has that little racer's prayer in there, and it makes a difference.
That's great. And, you know, I'm sure with you screaming, you was like Chewbacca, giving your primal Chewbacca scream up there.
Yeah, I was just so proud of him. You know, he's been wanting to get his little son a trophy, and he did. You know, so it's just a lot of things. It's awesome to be able to give somebody the chance to go out there and not just win a race but win a championship. And it's awesome for us to get Colton in there and have that position. And he's taken the wheel and done just amazing things this year. So, like I said, we're really proud of him. I know the team partners are really excited to have him in the car this year, and it's been really great.
Because, you know, that he made history. That was his first win ever. And I've never seen him win, and I've been watching him for years. And I was so tickled to death to find out that he won the race, especially won it.
He swept the night, by golly. I mean, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Winning the race backwards blindfolded moments.
Yeah, it really is. And the car's in great shape, thanks to Morton Motorsports. Jamie's kept us on track all this year and has done all the work to get us where we need to be. I'm just the money guy now. I'm just the owner. I just pay for it all.
And I'm sure next year you'll be back in it, won't you?
We'll see. You know, there's some things I still have to do to get 100%, but I'm doing them, and I'm working real hard to try to get into the car for next year for sure.
Well, y'all be sure. So since we put God first in the show, I know Derek does too. Y'all be sure and say a prayer for Derek.
Right now, it's funny you say that. because I'm actually at church right now. I was behind the drums. The band is playing right now for our Celebrate Recovery. I'm a leader and also play drums on Friday and Sundays at Coastal Church in Bay Minette. So I had to get off stage to come do the interview. So they're singing without me. I'm all about God. There's some good things happening on this side of the phone.
That's awesome. So, look, if you're in Bay Minette, go to Coastal Church Bay Minette. I've never been, but I've seen Derek play from the videos. He's very good. Like, he reminds me of Robert Sweet from Striper. He can just play and makes it look
effortless. Hey, I'll take that. That's a compliment, brother. I'll take that for sure.
Because, look, I saw Striper a few weeks ago in concert, and just to see him play them drums, you just kind of remind me of him. You just look so easy to you, like you've done it your whole life, you know.
I started when I'm 5, and I'm 51 now, and I've been playing drums ever since. So I've got – I know a couple licks.
Oh, shoot. So, like you could flip your drumsticks and catch them and still play like nothing to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and not miss the beat. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's part of the trick.
That's awesome. So another one comes to mind, too, when you speak of drums like that. It's Philip Duncan of the Newsboys. You ever seen him play?
Oh, yeah. I like it when they spin him. You know, he's upside down and all that stuff. I've not done that yet, but I'd be willing to try.
Look, I remember, this has been, I'm telling my age, I remember the Love Liberty Disco Tour for the Newsboys. It was 1999, and this is back when Peter Furler was still the lead singer before he left to do solo. And then they had, because I've seen Newsboys 10 times in concert. That's how big of a fan I am. And then they had, of course, Phil Joel was still with them. And there was one of the songs, I don't remember which one, but Peter got on the drums, a big set of drums, and then Philip was playing the drums at the same time. And they both started.
I think I remember that
table.
During the tour. I can't remember that song either because I saw that tour. I do remember that, though.
That was cool. And I tell you what. If you ever get a chance, maybe one day you can say, Philip Duncan, hey, can I play drums with you and just see what he says?
Yeah, I'll send it out that way.
So I really like that you put God first, especially in the racing, because I think it helps you a lot in your racing.
Oh, yeah. You know, we always say a little prayer beforehand, and like I said, God is always first. Racing, family, all in that mix. And then, you know, of course, doing what we do at the church. I'm a big member. Like I said, we have a big Celebrate Recovery here for people who are just hurting, whether it's stress, anxiety, alcohol, sex, whatever, drugs. It's any kind of addiction that you've had and you just want to let go of, be released of. You know, you just let go, and this is the place to do it. When we started this a year ago, we had 4 people, and we're up to 60. So, and that's on a regular basis. So we're really, we're touching a lot of souls and bringing people to God and healing people. And so that's really special to us.
That is awesome because I love hearing success stories like that. Like last night, for instance, I was at my church and I helped with we do a thing every year called Saw You at the Pole. And as you know, most all the high schools do the See You at the Pole rally where they pray in front of the flagpole. Well, I forgot who started in my church many, many moons ago, but they started the thing. So why don't we do a concert that night and have a guest speaker, and then we, you know, preach, and then we feed the youth in the area. So we did it again this year, and last night we had a total between youth and adults. We had 340 people, which is amazing.
That's so strong.
That's
awesome.
That's
Come
a
on.
Lot. And
that's
it was
awesome.
Almost
it's a lot
standing
of
room only. Oh, a lot of food. Look, we had 72 boxes of pizzas, and so we had a band I've never heard of before, but it's a guy named Isaac Pittman. He's a kind of a middle-aged black guy, and his band is awesome. They do Christian worship music and then do other Christian music. He played, he did awesome, and then we had the traveling evangelist Shannon Knight preached, and Shannon and I have become good friends. And Shannon's a member of 2 gospel groups, and then he does the traveling, and then he's a full-time preacher also. And the success story, like out of all these youth and people, when Shannon, he got up there and he preached one of them old-school Fire on the Mountain sermons, and when he got done, it was almost to the point where people was just about running to the front of the altar to give their life to Jesus. And bet you it was all kind of youth and adults went forward and got saved last night. And that touched me.
There's a movement. There's a good movement going on right now. You know, there's a bad enough movement in the country and the world now that, believe it or not, there's still a good movement going on, and it's getting bigger. And that's the people like you and I behind it, and it's awesome.
Amen, exactly. And I think that's awesome what you do with Celebrate Recovery and playing the drums at your church, because that's a really big deal. Because, you know, a lot of people need to hear about this awesome stuff. They need to hear about the good news of Jesus, because without God, we got nothing. And we don't want people to go to hell, basically.
It's a good way to look at it. But, I appreciate you having me on tonight. I would like to say a special thank you to our team sponsors. They've been with us for a while, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that's great. Frank Griffith of BA Motorsports has been with us for 10 to 12 years probably. He's one of our main ones. Mike Riccardi over at Spring Hill Toyota, that's in Mobile. And a new one this year, Greg and Anissa Reidenauer from Roadkill Cafe in Alberta, Alabama. Man, you want some good home cooking, that's the place to go. Also, Nationwide, you like that good stuff. The National Apart, also Morton Motorsports, thanks to Jamie, United Plumbing Service, Cart Doctor, Coastal Traffic, and, of course, Kane's Warrior Kids. We put them on there as we've got some special events coming up Halloween at the USA Women's and Children's Hospital. We'll be there. And then also we're starting our toy drive for the USA Women's and Children's Hospital for Christmas, too.
Man, I tell you what, I love Kane's Warrior Kids. Y'all donate to help these kids because it's kids with pediatric cancer, right?
Yes. And we actually help other people. We've been asked to help other kids, but our main focus is kids with cancer. Yeah.
Well, that's a great thing. So if y'all can donate, go to Kane's Warrior Kids on Facebook. And do you have a website they can donate to?
Yeah, it's easy. KanesWarriorKids.com. It's K-A-N-E-S. So KanesWarriorKids.com. Love to see you.
That's great. Well, y'all be sure and help Derek out, support his organization, and go to Celebrate Recovery. So thank you for calling in. I appreciate it, because Derek and I go several years back, so he's a good friend. So I appreciate you calling in.
Oh, absolutely. You have a blessed day, and look forward to be back and on the show. But I got to go get behind them drums again, brother. They're waiting.
Hey, have fun. Bring your inner pillow Duncan out.
I'll do it. Thanks a lot.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all, so that was Derek Long, a.k.a. Kane. All right, that was cool, man. I'm glad he took time to call in because, you know, he's busy with Coastal Church and doing Celebrate Recovery, so that's really cool. So thank you. Thank you, Kane. And, hey, the show's almost at the ending mark, so what do you know? I appreciate Patrick Daniel calling in. I think highly of him. I appreciate Kane calling in. I think highly of him, too. And if anybody ever wants to call in on the show, the number to call in is 718-664-9861. And be sure and let me know if you're on my friends list on Facebook. Let me know who you are if you're calling in. That way I know, because I don't. So, yeah, that's the phone number to call in. And thank you to Chris Creighton, of course, like I mentioned earlier, and with Race Chat Live. So y'all tune into his Race Chat Live NASCAR show that he does every Tuesday night. I believe it's 8 Eastern. I may be wrong on that. And then I got to give a shout-out to Jason McMillan, who owns the 110 Nation Sports. Without Jason, I would not have this show. So thank you very much. And I got to thank my awesome buddy, Artie Schick, at the Southern Dirt Track Report, because I still work with the Southern Dirt Track Report. So as y'all know, Artie took a second job, so he doesn't have time to do the Talking Dirt podcast anymore. So I said, well, you know what, I'm going to start my own podcast and do it about safety and racing and plus promote local racetracks. And let's see. Oh, okay. There's also a direct connect button under the phone number. Well, thank you, Amber. So shout out to Amber. She's on the Southern Dirt Track Report with me and Artie. Amber covers Jackson Motor Speedway for us. She takes a lot of pictures, videos, ANC photography. It's her photography. She's really awesome. And if you need any, and she's been having problems with a camera, but I hope you can get your camera fixed, Amber, or maybe you can get somebody to, somebody wants to donate to help ANC photography. Amber would be glad to take any donations. But her camera's broke down at the moment, but she still videos races for some, and Jackson Motor Speedway is where she works at on the weekends, or covers for us, which is awesome. So thank you, Amber, for what you do. And, you know, get back to Artie, man. That's my dude, man. Me and Artie's real close. I think the world of Artie. We talk all the time. And I filmed the races for Tri-County Speedway the other night. And Artie, me and him were talking back and forth on my way home. And that's just somebody I really think highly of, man. He's a good, genuine dude. He's done a good bit for me, and I've done a good bit for him. And that's my dude, man. He's a really, really awesome friend of mine. And so I've got to give him a shout-out. Southern Dirt Track Report. Go like us on Facebook at Southern Dirt Track Report. And I was supposed to have Isaiah Dave, Tri-County Speedway, on, but Isaiah had a cold, and he had to cancel on me, so y'all be sure and say a prayer for Isaiah that he gets feeling better. We'll get Isaiah to call in next week, talk about Tri-County Speedway and whatnot. And, okay, so Amber's changing to Dirt Floor Racing Productions videos and photos. Okay, so it's no longer ANC. So Dirt Floor Racing is Amber and her dad's race team. So she's just swapping the name over to that. So that's pretty cool. So be sure and follow Dirt Floor Racing on Facebook. And you can join Amber's group, too. So that's pretty neat. And thank you for listening, Amber. So speaking of Tri-County Speedway, so I was at Tri-County Speedway last weekend. And shout-out to Miss Marilyn Day, Isaiah, Chuck Day, Joshua Day, all the days up there, man. I appreciate the media pass they give me when I go there. And I film the races all the time. And I just love that track, man. That's one of my home tracks. You know, I love Deep South Speedway. It's another one of my home tracks. And then Tri-County Speedway is my other one that I go to all the time. I just love those two racetracks. I try to go to both every race they race at. And they're awesome people up there at Tri-County Speedway. And I was fighting the mosquitoes the other night. My dumb self, because usually my buddy Jamie Mazingo races in the Iron Horse class. And so Jamie didn't get to race the Iron Horse because I think his grandson, I think, was having a birthday party, and they went to that over there and around Lossley. And so since they was up there anyways, they took the 602 with them, and they went to race Deep South since they was up that way for the birthday party. So he didn't get to race the Iron Horse. And so they usually have a thing of mosquito spray that I borrow. Well, I smooth forgot that I was going to be needing mosquito spray. And I was up there on that container, and you can ask Miss Marilyn what I was telling her the other day on Facebook. But the mosquitoes were eating me alive. And, like, I was at war with them suckers. Because if you've ever been to Tri-County Speedway, you know why they call it the swamp. Because there's a swamp right there behind turns 1 and 2. And Like I said on Facebook the other day, them mosquitoes are as big as hummingbirds. Them things about to tote you off. It's like Uncle Si said on Duck Dynasty, he said, hey, the mosquitoes are so big in Louisiana, you slap them, they'll slap you right back, Jack. And that's how I feel about them mosquitoes over in Pollard. Them things, no lies, as big as a hummingbird. And then one of the track workers thankfully got some mosquito spray, and I borrowed some from him, so that helped a lot. So appreciate it. I didn't even think to ask the guy's name, but thanks for that. But I'll remember next time, mosquito spray. And Ms. Marilyn did say that Chuck was spraying around the bleachers, which is super awesome. Keeps the mosquitoes away from the bleachers, and they're going to spray around some of them containers too. So that's pretty cool. Thank y'all. And I love that racetrack, man. That family is so nice to me. They're so good to me. And I love filming there. And whenever I get me a new video camera, I'll be able to film some more.
And I'm excited, man, about the future at Tri-County Speedway, especially with my video, and it's growing. I'm getting better and better at my videos. I ain't no, like, pro TV guy yet, but I think I'm pretty good at my videos. And one thing I like to do is zoom in on the race cars as they're going around the track. And, like, one lap, I'll follow one driver around for a lap, and I'll zoom back out. And they had some really good racing. We was done at 10:30 the other night. We had 36 cars. It wasn't a lot, and it wasn't a lot of fans, but it was still fun. It was still a lot of fun. And to me, racing is better than football. But when football season comes in, it just kills racing. And sadly, the tracks, it hurts the racetrack because they don't make a lot of money. And sometimes tracks even go in the negative if they don't have a lot of fans. It's just, I don't know, we need fans in the stands. You know, if you have to, pull up the ESPN app on your phone and, you know, try to look at the score every now and then. But to me, racing is just better. It's just my opinion. Don't need nobody getting mad at me. That's just my opinion. Racing is better. Seeing high-horsepower cars slinging mud, it's just more exciting to me than grown men tackling each other. I don't know. I'm just not a big football fan. When I do watch football, it's Roll Tide, and I like high school football. I love my high school football, but that's about it. Racing, that's where it's at. Tri-County Speedway, shout out to them. They had some awesome, awesome racing last weekend. They had a IMCA Mods. Let's see, what all classes do they have? Of course, they had the Iron Horse late models, which is my favorite late model. Cheapest late model you can get into. DJ Hawkins won the late model race. Let's see, modified was Larry Falk. And Larry Falk won the pure stock race. And what other class did they have? Oh, the 602 race. Parker Bell, Parker Bell won the 602 race, which is pretty cool. That's the first time I've seen him win in quite a while. So shout out Parker Bell. But that pure stock race, man, it wasn't but three cars. And it's sad that it was only three cars. There should have been more. But it was the best pure stock race you will see, man. Like, I got to give a shout-out to Ethan Pickering and his dad, and give a shout-out to the 52 of Wesley Holmes and Fred Flintstone himself, of Larry Falk, of Yabba Dabba Doo from the town of Bedrock. Those three drivers, man, they put on the best show, man. It was three wide for five or six laps, maybe more. Three wide. You never knew. Like, Ethan Pickering had the high side, and that's where it was at. It looked like Larry Falk would pass him, and then Ethan go right back around him on the high side. Then Wesley Holmes would swap back and forth. Wesley had the lead for like a lap or two, and then Ethan went back and led like three or four more laps, and Larry just couldn't pull it off on, you know, leading laps. And then all of a sudden, poor Ethan, man, I hate it for a young man. He smacked the wall, and when he smacked that wall in turn two and just messed up the side of his car. And then L.J. Falk took the lead, Wesley Holmes, and never looked back. And when he did, he was gone, son. He had the Flintstone Mobile just wide open. And so shout-out Larry Falk for winning that race. I'm telling you, y'all got to watch my video I got. That is the best pure stock race you will see. That's the best I've seen at Tri-County Speedway in quite a long time. Like, when I say three wide, I'm talking about literally three wide for like four or five, six laps. Back and forth, passing each other, back and forth, back and forth. And you never know who was going to. And if Ethan hadn't slapped the wall, he probably would have held on to win it. There's no doubt in my mind. But Wesley Holmes, man, he did good, too. He led like a lap or two in there, too. So that was fun. And, shout out Tommy, Ethan's dad. I was talking with him about it the other day. That was a mighty fine race. I love seeing the young kids like Ethan do so good because he's super young, so that's pretty cool to see the kids. And so we're about at the end of the show here, and let's see.
call the mosquitoes bobcats in Jackson. They're large from being on the river. So Amber said they call the mosquitoes bobcats over at Jackson Motor Speedway. I'm telling you, like I was saying the other day, them mosquitoes are mutated. And, like, some mosquitoes are so bad, you could take a mosquito spray truck and spray them, and they just laugh at them. Look, I hate mosquitoes. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. And shoot, man, you're getting better at videoing, Amber. You're getting good at videoing. So let's see here. All right, let me go to our website here. I got to send, which reminds me, I got to send Patrick Daniel the video we got of the demonstration of fuel arrestor. So since we're at the end of the show, I'd like to get an all-female show, and maybe we can get Amber to call in next show, if you're interested in calling in, Amber. But I want to get an all-female show. of course, I'm looking to get Kayla Gassner on. Been talking with her. And there are several others that I've reached out to, females that I've reached out to on Facebook, but they hadn't seen my Facebook message. And some people just don't read Messenger, or they just bad about checking Messenger. But I'd love to get an all-female show, next show maybe, or maybe the one after that. It don't matter. But I do want to get one. So if you're interested in calling in, Amber, that'd be cool. So we're at the end of the show here. I want to read these, of course, read these Bible verses. So this is the verse Miss Tina picked out. So thank you for Miss Tina Johns for helping me with the website. I can't take all the credit for the website. I built it, but she helped me with a lot of it. So I appreciate Miss Tina for what she's doing. She's pretty good at websites and stuff like that. So thank you for helping me build this. So it's RaceSafeForFuelArrestorLLC.com if you'd like to look us up online. Take fuel fires seriously. Take fuel fires seriously. Excuse me. Not seriously. Either one. Hit me up. The Bible verse, Isaiah 43:2. I think it's the NIV version, American Standard. Okay, I like this one. It says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Man, that's awesome. And it's like I always say, and I'm going to keep repeating it. I don't care how many times I got to repeat it. But this verse, like, is fitting for the fuel arrestor because, like, with me and Miss Tina and of course, Derek, you know, we're saved, so we know, and Robbie, we know that God is our safety net. He's there for us no matter what trials and troubles we face in life. So remember to, if you're a Christian, keep God first in all you do. And if you don't know about Jesus, hit me up. I'll be glad to tell you about him. I got all kind of testimonies and stories I can share with you how awesome God is, especially like that story I shared earlier from the I saw you at the pole rally last night at my church, so shout out to Grove Hill Baptist Church, my church. And my buddy Austin Bedwell, who put it on, he's a youth pastor, so shout out to them. And, of course, Matthew Furrow, our pastor. And so that's a good Bible verse right there because with God's our safety net, then we want the fuel arrestor to be your safety net to keep you from catching fire, getting burned in a race car. And, of course, the other verse I like, Psalms 4:8, NIV version, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Boom. I go to sleep at night knowing that God's my safety net, and he makes me dwell in safety. Think about safety. I'm the safety Nazi, so, or whatever you want to call me, safety guru, safety expert, whatever, it don't matter. I'm a safety guy. So that verse is fitting for the fuel arrestor also. And, of course, I got the last verse I want to read here. And I just shared it earlier on my Facebook. So let me pull it back up. Actually, it came up in my memories because I already had it posted. Oh, this is the perfect verse. Acts 20:24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, anybody that knows me, all I talk about is Jesus and racing mostly, and Kunin. So, Jesus first, what I talk about, and then safety, and of course racing in this podcast. So, yeah, God's good. And something else, too, I love making people laugh. I love jokes. I love all kind of stuff. I'm going to read you two jokes real quick for you in the show. So everybody knows I'm a big Chuck Norris fan, huge Chuck Norris fan. He's a Christian, too, by the way, which is cool. And I love a good Chuck Norris joke. And, like, I've probably said the same joke 1,000 times on a lot of these. But sometimes I'll hear one that, hey, I ain't never heard that before, and I'll laugh. I'll laugh. I don't care. And so one of them is, did you know that Chuck Norris can do a wheelie on a unicycle? And then another one before I end it. So me and Scott Sessions at Northwest Florida Speedway was talking, and he come back with me with this one, and he said, he loves the Chuck Norris jokes too, and he told me, he said, did you know Chuck Norris can win a super late model race in a go-kart? Daggum, that's funny. I don't care who you are. If you don't think that's funny, you need to leave. So anyways, y'all have a good one. We're going to end the show. Thanks for listening, and God loves you, Jesus saves. We're going to end it with a song by Levi Mann. Thank you, Levi Mann, for this awesome song, and it's called Letters in Red. I'm going to play the whole song to end it. Look up Levi Mann on YouTube, Facebook. Download this song from Amazon Music. Buy some CDs from Levi Mann. He's a country rapper, but he's a Christian artist. So it's like Christian country rap. So check this song out. Great message. Watch the music video on YouTube. We'll see y'all later.
When I'm running in the night and I can't see the light and I don't know where to go, I just get my feet to God and he shows me where to walk to get out of these crossroads. And when the devil talks back and tries to attack, I just grab him by his head and I change on my sword. That's the word of the Lord, and I see those letters in red, those letters in red. Daddy calling me to never back down. Mama taught me to say my prayers. I grew up on a stand firm faith. That's why I know my God's always there. I never talk back, I just walk forward. I'm not a perfect man, that's why I praise the Lord. Because it wasn't me that got me out the woods, it was the only one that I know who could. A lost soul on a broken road, I had a mule I could choose. So you better tell the devil step back when the Lord turns me loose. When I'm running in the night and I can't see the light and I don't know where to go, I just get my feet to God and he shows me where to walk to get out of these crossroads. And when the devil talks back and tries to attack, I just grab him by his head and I change out my sword. That's the word of the Lord. And I see those letters in red, those letters in red. Grandpa said the day that he died, loved God with all he had, and he passed that dream down to me. That's why I praise him with all I have. I tried to run away, but I don't run today. I'm walking by his side,
by side, by side.
And I was all astray until he took it away from the thief in the night. These feet have a story to tell in every mile that they've been, but every mile had a lesson that I learned, and I'm never going back again.
When I'm running in the night and I can't see the light and I don't know where to go, I just get my fear to God and he shows me where to walk to get out of these crossroads. And when the devil talks back and tries to attack, I just grab him by his head and I change out my sword. That's